You are listening to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio, brought to you by M Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio. I'm your host, Todd Schnick, joined in the studio by my colleagues, Carol Flammer and Todd Youngblood. Guys, how are you today?
Outstanding.
You're going to begin every episode with outstanding.
I think I probably will, because I've been beginning episodes of my life like that for decades. Okay. Decades before you even knew what a decade was.
Tradition's good. I like it. Yeah. Carol, how are you today?
Well, if he's outstanding, then I'm perfect.
I knew that.
I have no retort to that. I have no comment.
Happy to be here.
Well, gosh, we had a great time last night at your holiday party. That was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. We're glad that you guys were there.
First time I saw Schnick with a name tag. He always whines about wearing name tags. I can't understand how you talked him into that.
Todd, it was integral to the cocktail procurement process.
Aha.
So you understand. You
know. I get it.
So, well, hey, since we had a fun conversation about last night, let's get to today. I'm looking forward to today's guest. Her name is Cindy McPherson. She is a partner with The Interior Partners. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to see you. Before we get into a conversation, Cindy, take a second and walk us through a little bit about you and your background.
I've been in the home building industry for 20-something years. I've actually lost count, which is a good thing. I am a NCIDQ certified interior designer. And I specialize, my company, we specialize in model homes, sales centers, and clubhouses predominantly. I have been in the construction industry on a lot of different levels. I was a developer and a builder for a lot of years, and that helps me to bring a lot of insight to the table to my builder clients.
I know that you decorate a lot of, or you merchandise a lot of model homes. And we want to talk to you about something a little bit different today. You know, as we lead into the holidays, there's probably a lot of people out there like myself who haven't done anything yet. My tree's not up. I have one snowman out of my house. So part of my weekend project needs to be to get my act together and decorate. So what are some of the trends that you're seeing for holiday decoration, you know, kind of beyond the typical white lights or the multicolored Christmas tree lights? Tell me what I need to be doing to have the hot house on the block.
The hot house on the block. From the exterior, there are so many things that you can do. You can do bells, you can do sleighs, you can do wreaths, garlands, bows. You know, organic green is a really big thing. You know, do the fresh wreaths and the fresh garlands and pine cones and things of that nature. Lights, you can do uplighting on the house versus the traditional strung Christmas lights. Of course, that's always fun, but not necessary. You know, something else that's fun is luminaires, which are sand-filled bags with candles in them. That's a really neat thing. Of course, that's kind of a one-shot deal. You know, you fill all those little bags, you put all those candles, then you light them, and it's beautiful for 2-3 hours, and it's done.
Be great for a party, though.
Great for a party or Christmas Eve. Gotcha. You know, special time.
I remember those luminaires from when I was a kid in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. There was one family that did it one year, and it took about 8 or 9 years later the entire main street of the town. I mean, it must have been 3/4 of a mile both sides of the street. Spectacular. Beautiful.
It is unbelievable. It really is. And sometimes I have known communities to get together, and everybody does their home frontage on the street, and it's fabulous.
Yeah, I've got to ask this question of a professional. These blow up things with the fans and the snowmen. What do you think of those?
Do you really want me to say? Okay. I don't think I can really say on the radio what I think of those. You answered.
That was an answer.
You answered my question.
That's called damning with faint praise.
And let me say this: it's a really lucky thing that my parents live in Florida and probably will not hear what I just said because they have those in their front yard.
Well, I'm not one that would claim to have great taste, but I don't have any of those either.
I'm glad to hear it.
How are you? I've got another question for you, because I don't consider myself to have any talent whatever in decorating. How do you come to be as good as you are decorating ideas and model homes and clubhouses, as you've mentioned? Is it genetic, or what do you do to develop your talent? Where does it come from?
Okay, I think it's partly innate. Either you have the ability or you don't. Part of it's education, a lot of it's exposure and experience. The more you see, the more you know. And, you know, there really are no new ideas in design, just old ones redone. So with that being said, I think experience and again, an innate ability, you either have an eye for it or you don't, and education.
What kinds of things do you have to do to get the certification that you mentioned a little earlier?
The certification is actually very difficult to get. Requires a college degree in interior design. Requires, they keep changing, but I think it's like 4 to 6 years professional experience before you are allowed to sit for the exam. And it's very similar to becoming a certified architect. You have to know building codes, you have to know, it's very, very, very difficult. Only about 10% of the designers in the nation actually have passed this test and have this credential. So
Pretty impressive. Really
hard to get. So it's one of those things you're really proud of when you get it because the test is unbelievably difficult.
Well, good for you. I'm impressed.
Well, thank you.
So for our listeners out there who are hosting maybe a big Christmas dinner or a Christmas day, you know, lunch, do you have some tips for holiday centerpieces, things that are really easy that we don't have to stress over to bring together?
You know what? There are so many things you can do with a centerpiece. One thing I would say first off, and I hate to start on a negative note, but don't make your centerpiece so tall that your guests cannot see each other across the table.
You're getting lots of nodding in the studio for that.
So many people have done that. And then you spend all this time making this beautiful centerpiece, and then you have to take it off the table so people can communicate with each
other.
Exactly. You don't want to do that. You could do candles. You could do live flowers. You could do pine cones and ribbons and berries, silk arrangements that maybe coordinate with other decorations in the home. You could do a vase full of Christmas tree bulbs. There's so many things you could do.
Right.
I really think people should try to be creative. You know, step outside the box. And even if you want to be a little tacky, it's okay. It's Christmas decorations. You know, do something fun. You know, if you have young children in the house, you might want it to be, you might want to have Snoopy on the table, you know?
Right. So you're recommending that we take some of those blow-up Christmas lawn ornaments and get the small versions of them and put them on our table.
Sure. Under, you know, maybe over top a mirror. So that
you can get the full effect of it.
You know, really.
Okay. Yeah. On that note, we'll be back with Cindy McPherson after this commercial break. At Guarantee Mortgage, our goal is to help people own their own home. We offer innovative product lines with competitive pricing. Integrity and honesty will always be at the forefront of our loan process. A subsidiary of Guarantee Bank, this stability assures our customers that we have control over the funding of their loans and will always meet our commitments. Our people are passionate, have a can-do attitude, and a desire to deliver a memorable customer experience. Call Guarantee Mortgage at 770-614-7425 or apply online at guaranteemortgage.com, an equal housing lender. Okay, we're back with Cindy McPherson with the Interior Partners.
So we've talked a lot about Christmas or holiday trends and what people can do with their homes, but what about trends for 2012? What are you seeing for the, you know, for next year in terms of colors and other interior design options?
Well, I don't think we're going to see a lot of dramatic change, but I think we're going to see 2011 developed a little more. Design has become more simple. It's cleaner. Traditional is cleaner. Contemporary is becoming more popular. We are seeing a lot of what we call soft contemporary, which is like not edgy contemporary, but still contemporary. One of the reasons is design is really related to world events and the economy. And the economy, as we all know, is in the state it's in. So we're not going to see tons of embellishments. And although we are seeing a little bit more of the bling, but still, overall, design is simpler.
Cindy, do you see any difference, different demographic groups, you know, age or background or nationality, or is it more blend? Are we still the melting pot?
Oh, no, it's very, very, very different. You know, in doing model home merchandising, the key thing we look at before we come to the table with a design presentation is the demographic. Who is the predominant buyer in an area? Age, culture, race, all those things enter into it. And we definitely design different for different demographics because there's different tastes, there's different styles.
Yeah, what, I mean, you've had a chance to get to know me a little bit. Mm-hmm. What do I like?
What do you like?
And I ask that because I really don't know.
He doesn't know.
I don't really know. Well, I'm really not sure what age demographic you fall in, so we won't
old.
Go.
I'm much younger than I look.
Yeah, we all are. I would guess you're probably more of a transitional kind of guy, which is transitional is traditional with different elements mixed in. Transitional can be really a more sophisticated type style because the more a person's exposed to, the more types of things they're interested in, the more styles they like. And transitional can be an eclectic blend to a certain degree.
I'll tell you what, the sophisticated and eclectic, you pegged me.
Okay.
You remember that, Schneck. Sophisticated, particularly.
Sophisticated. Uh-huh. Well, on the subject of sophistication, I'm seeing a lot of design articles that talk about white kitchens, you know, white cabinets, white kitchens. Are you seeing this trend in homes you're merchandising, or is it specific you're not seeing it?
I'm seeing a lot of wood finish still. People are still enjoying wood. White is harder to maintain.
I think so too.
And we're living in a society where everybody has too much to do and not enough time to do it in. And, you know, maintaining a white kitchen takes work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe June Cleaver might have been good at that, but most women today are not. But you still always have that person that wants the white, bright, clean kitchen.
So you're not even seeing the white countertops?
No.
Or the, really? Okay.
Just granite. Everybody wants granite. Lots and lots of granite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are there differences in the trends you see from the model homes to the clubhouses, or is it pretty much the same?
Clubhouse, trend-wise, usually the style of the clubhouse will be dictated by the architecture of the building and the subdivision. So with that being said, you know, if we have a very craftsman style subdivision and the clubhouse is very craftsman style, that's going to dictate how we're going to furnish it. The colors we're going to select with the model, the demographic is going to dictate what the merchandising is going to be, what the feel is going to be, what the colors are going to be. So it is different. Yes.
Okay. And the same for the sales center? I mean, I imagine that would have to reflect the homes as well.
The sales center will predominantly reflect the builder's story, his branding, functionality is really key in that type of a situation.
And what do you find? What's most fun for you? Yeah, if you think of a project or a development, what really turns you on?
I like doing different things. Anything that's unusual or different, that's exciting.
Back to that eclectic.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Something that's going to challenge my creative talent, I love. That's a lot of fun.
Okay, Cindy, we're about out of time. Before we let you go, share with the audience how they can get in touch with you and learn more about the work of The Interior Partners.
You can find us online at theinteriorpartners.com. Our office phone number is 678-731-0926. Online through our website. You can, of course, send us emails.
All right. Cindy McPherson, partner with The Interior Partners. It was great to have you. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Well, pleasure was ours. We'll be back with our next segment after today's Deal of the Day. Okay, it's time for today's Deal of the Day. Carol, what have you got for us?
So today I have Trayton Homes Holiday Wishes Come True savings event. It's offering year-end savings at many of their communities all over Atlanta. The only catch is that the contracts have to be written by the end of December. So, and the incentives vary by community. So I can just give you kind of some examples. I'll give you some highlights. At Westminster Place in Milton, prices have been reduced by up to $46,000. $46,000 on three different move-in ready homes. They're also offering an additional $5,000 closing cost bonus.
In addition to the 46.
And you said these are move-in ready? Okay, so it's okay if I do it by December. I could move in literally in December.
At this point, you probably still have, especially if you're pre-qualified, would have time to move in during December. And this community it's just 14 one-acre home sites, so it's kind of intimate. They're priced in the mid-500s. They all have basements and three-car garages. And then they receive a one-year family social membership to the Atlanta Athletic Club.
Well, that's a cool little incentive.
It's a nice perk, isn't it? Students will attend Milton High School, which is one of Newsweek magazine's 2010 best high schools in America.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's one of their offerings. And then they have Mill Creek in Brookhaven, where they're offering reductions of up to $40,000, as well as a $5,000 closing cost bonus. And there's two move-in ready homes there.
I'm hearing a theme here.
Mm-hmm.
$40,000+ move-in ready.
It's a lot of of, yeah, that's a great incentive.
Brookhaven's a cool part of town, too.
Love Brookhaven. The homes there, one of them is their award-winning Dupree floor plan. It has 4 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms. It's a big house. A 3-car side entry garage. And the other house is 4 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms with a 2-car garage. These homes are now priced at, one's $499.9 and the other one's $549.9. You know, great deals. You know, granite countertops, undermount stainless sinks, maple cabinetry, crown molding details.
Trayton just has all those extra touches. I mean, they're very consistent about that. Every one of their developments and homes I've ever heard of has all those touches.
Yeah, and these homes actually include security systems as well. So great deal at Mill Creek and Brookhaven. And then I'll just give you one more example. Davis Farm in Kennesaw, they're offering buyers a free 3-car garage plus $5,000 in closing costs on pre-sale homes. This is, you know, Cobb County. It's a 30-home community. The homes have 3 sides, brick, cedar shake, stone exteriors, and they're priced from the 330s.
I drive right by there on the way home.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun watching them go up.
Beautiful community. So these are Trayton's Holiday Wishes Come True year-end savings events. So to find out more, you can go to their website, www.traytonhomes.com.
Okay, well, good stuff. That wraps today's deal of the day. Okay, we're back with our next segment. We are pleased to be joined by Sandy Tate, who's the president of Guarantee Mortgage. Welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thank you.
Before we get into a conversation, take a second and tell us a little about you and your background.
I'm president of Guarantee Mortgage Services. I've been the president since 1991. It's a full-service mortgage banking company, and it does about $200 to $300 million worth of loans every year. And we're a full-service mortgage banker.
So mortgages are hot. It's a great time to buy. We have historically low mortgages. What can the average buyer expect as far as, you know, what are the 30-year mortgage rates right now?
Well, they're below 4.
Wow.
Most mortgages depends, the rate depends on how much you're putting down, your credit score, what you do for a living, but, you know, they're from 3.5 to 4.125.
So how does that work? Is it the more you put down, the lower the rate, or does it vary?
To a certain limit. If you put down 20%, your rate is better.
Okay, that makes sense. So if you give them more money up front, you're going to get a better rate over the long run.
Exactly. 100% loans, of course, have a higher rate.
So those are still available?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. So can you tell us a little bit about the different types of mortgages available today?
Sure. I mean, of course, you have your normal 30-year fixed that require a down payment of at least 5%. We have something called USDA, that's United States Rural Development Loans. Those are 100% loans without any mortgage insurance, but you have to be in a certain part of the state. And they are parts of Atlanta that are in USDA.
I know that always surprises people.
Yeah, they are. Almost every county except Fulton has a USDA portion. And these loans also have an income restriction. Those are very popular now. FHA is very popular now. VA is very popular now. VA is 100% loan also for anybody that's been a veteran.
Sandy, I'm crazy, and I'm now in my 11th house, so I've had 11 mortgages, and I think it's 5. It's either 4 or 5 refinancings. So on the one hand, I feel like I've kind of been there a couple of times and understand what mortgages are good for me. But how does somebody go? There's so many changes, so many differences now. How do I go about finding out what's the best mortgage for me?
Well, the first thing you need to do is pick a lender. Pick a lender you trust and a loan officer that you're comfortable with. And that's what the job of a loan officer is. Now, most loan officers are licensed because of the changes in the federal regulations. So that's the first step. But again, now instead of increasing all the types of products, it really has shrunk. So it's easier for the customer to figure out what they want. But that is the job of the mortgage professional, to help you through that process. And it depends a lot on how long you're going to be in your home.
Yeah. Now, you said pick a mortgage company that you trust. How do I figure out which one?
Well, you just pick me. And then you're fine.
Well, I don't even have to write that down. I can remember that.
Call Sandy.
I think you should call the Better Business Bureau. You should see if they're members of Mortgage Banking or Mortgage Brokers Association. You know, just talk to your friends. Talk to people that you work with, and they'll give you references.
I mentioned refinancing. Uh-huh. I mean, what kind of things should someone look at? When's it time to refinance, and when's it time just to sit tight?
I think it's right now it's always time to refinance. If somebody's got a 3.5 rate, of course it's not time to refinance. But even if you've got 4.5 and you can save $50, $60, $70, $80, you ought to really consider it if you're going to be in your house. Some people are refinancing on long-term ARMs like 7-1s because they think they're going to be gone in 7 years. So, you know, they're either going to retire, they're going to move. So those are good things to think about now.
So with those 7-1 ARMs, mm-hmm. what if they don't move in 7 years? Does that mean they're back in a boat of needing to refinance again in seven
Not
years?
Not necessarily. Or? Not necessarily. Most of, because of all regulation now, most of these ARMs are very, very slow increasing. But you don't want to, if you're in the age where you're going to retire and you're going to stay in this house for a long time or forever, you probably don't want an ARM. It's what they're really built for, people that are going to move up, have
right.
babies,
move up,
bigger house, those kind of things.
For somebody that's downsizing, mm-hmm. okay, we're talking, okay, Carol, I saw the rolling eyeballs over there. Okay, but I that's where I am right now. I've got mm-hmm. this huge house. My kids are grown and gone, and you know it's big empty banging around kind of place. What kind of mortgage should I be looking at? I mean, I think 30 years, is that a good idea? Should I look
sure.
at 15 or 10?
Well,
and why?
It depends on if you want to own your house. What's more important to you, to own your house or to have a small payment? And then pick that out. You know, if your payment 15 years may be a little bit too high for you to live the lifestyle you want to live. So those are the things you want to fit.
All right. We'll be back with Sandy Tate after this commercial break.
At Guarantee Mortgage, we work with you and for you to find the best loan. We ask a few questions and then listen. Only then do we walk you through your loan choices and options. We are experienced at unique and challenging situations, and we go out of our way to be convenient and accessible. Our service excellence is backed by our mortgage service guarantee. It pays you cash if we do not deliver. Call Guarantee Mortgage at 770-614-7425 or apply online at guaranteemortgage.com, an equal housing lender.
Okay, and we're back with Sandy Tate with Guarantee Mortgage.
There are lots of mortgage products out there. So there's a lot for buyers to choose from. But more importantly than that, the mortgage process has changed some with all the new rules and regulations and everything. What should somebody who's applying for a loan for the first time or even, you know, for the second time, what should they keep in mind? What do they need to know?
Well, I think now they need to know that everything is documented. Before, you know, if you had great credit and you were putting down a healthy down payment, we didn't do a lot. Now we are going to document everything, your income. You need to be prepared to provide your pay stubs, your tax returns. We do now verify that everybody pays taxes. We verify with the IRS. You need to be prepared to show us every statement where you have money, your 401. You just need to get a financial statement together before you meet with your loan officer and be prepared to tell him everything or her.
So how far back does that go? I mean, I know, you know, years ago when we applied for the loan, because I'm self-employed, I had to show multiple year tax mm-hmm. documents. Is mm-hmm. that true today for individuals as well?
Well, or? If your income is stable, 2 years. Give us 2010, you'd give us 2009, and you'd give us a P&L, which does not have to be audited for 2011. Okay. If it's not stable, then we're going to ask for multiple years.
Wow, so it really is a lot more hoops for today's buyers
yes,
to jump through.
It is. You have to be prepared.
Sandy, how long does the whole process take? I remember literally getting one mortgage for one house where I never even talked to a mortgage lender. Mm-hmm. I talked to the realtor over the kitchen counter. And
scary,
in an afternoon, and the next morning had a loan.
And we wonder why we're where we are.
No, we wonder why we have Dodd-Frank.
So, yeah, something tells me the six-hour approval process is probably a thing in the thing. I mean, from a planning standpoint, I mean how much time do I need?
I would say 30 days. You need 30 days from start to finish. Then you're safe. You might be able to get it done quicker, but 30 days is good.
That's still pretty fast.
Yes, it is fast.
And what kind of things do you look for? I mean, how do you deal with somebody that walks in that's really not qualified or maybe mm-hmm. trying to overbuy a house? I mean, do you get into that role of a counselor and trying to talk through folks of what's affordable and what makes sense financially?
A little bit, but that's not our role. A little bit, we'll say you don't qualify for this amount of payment, you qualify for X. And then we just let them make the decision.
Okay, so you may get into a situation of saying, hey, don't do 15-year, do 30-year.
Absolutely, we would do that. We would do that if we could approve them at 30-year. Yeah.
What kind of things should folks looking for a mortgage know? I mean, you must ask a whole series of questions and say, I don't believe they didn't come in prepared for that. What kind of things are they?
Well, besides just a financial statement, we're going to, they need to be prepared with the contract on their house. They need to be prepared with who's going to insure the home, all those kind of things. But we're going to, if they've got the financial statement, that's all it's about. That is all it's about.
So I know that there seems to be a trend of people making offers on homes and then turning around the next weekend and buying a car. So what's your advice on that?
Don't. Don't do that.
And why do they just get in this buying mood? I've just bought a house. I need a new car to park in the driveway.
Well, I do think that we haven't done our job if they do that.
Right.
I think our loan officers need to sit down with them and say, okay, now we have frozen your financial statement. Don't do anything without talking to me. Because some people can buy a car.
Right.
And it's not going to affect us. But that's our job, is to make sure they don't do that until they go to closing.
Are there any differences, you know, if I'm going to buy a new home or a resale or a short sale or a foreclosure? Or what impact do those kind of things have on the mortgage
process? There's a lot if you're buying a short sale or a foreclosure, because we're dealing with a seller that is not a person. We're dealing normally with a bank, and that takes a lot longer depending on which bank is going to approve the short sale. Most realtors now are looking for short sale houses for customers that have already been approved by the bank. Foreclosures are the same way, because foreclosures usually have a lot of things wrong with their houses. So that's something that you need to think about.
So are you seeing a lot of buyers use, what is it? There's a 401 renovation loan, or I'm probably using
it's
wrong numbers.
It's a
203. There you go.
There 203K.
I'm trying to make it a 401K, but it's a 203K.
Yes. Okay. A lot of people are using renovation loans, and we do both of those. We do a normal renovation loan, and then we do a 203K, which is a government-sponsored loan.
Sandy, we're about out of time. Before we let you go, share with the audience how they can get in touch with you and learn more about how Guarantee Mortgage can serve them.
Our website is www.guarantymortgage.com.
All right. Well, Sandy Tate, president of Guarantee Mortgage, it was great to have you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that wraps this episode. This week's episode of Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio. I'm your host, Todd Schnick. On behalf of Carol Flammer and Todd Youngblood, we'll see you next week.